Well, I know a lot of people wanted to come to the retreat, so I thought I would share a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be processing during those wonderful 4 days we have together. And if you're going to the retreat, you can take some notes and begin the process now of what we're going to be jumping into. Of course, it's going to be a lot deeper, a lot more experiential, where we'll get to really do the work in a very safe and wonderful place. Who's been to our retreat before? Put your hand up. Yeah, so you know how very powerful our retreats are here at Unity of New York. A few years ago, I read an article in a magazine called "Is Marriage Necessary?" The writer quoted a psychiatrist who was an expert in the relationship field. And he wrote, "I don't believe that love is a part of human nature, not for a minute. And even if it is a part of our nature, like crime or violence, it certainly isn't necessarily desirable." Now, this guy has what we in Unity call a challenge in the relationship field. Doesn't take much to see, we need to hold this guy in light for a lease of something going on. Well, it appears that science kind of agrees with this guy. They say that romance is really just a matter of a chemical reaction to another person that began as a mating call in prehistoric times. A primitive couple would stay together, probably about 4 years, where it was long enough to raise a child that was coming out of infancy, and then each partner would begin over again, sort of like every single soap opera we've ever seen, or some Real Housewives of Somewhere every season. Oh, they're off with somebody else, okay. Actually, the seven-year itch is a lot shorter than 7 years, at least in this country, according to the latest findings. Divorce rates are highest at what year? Fourth. We haven't grown that much since prehistoric times, have we? 4 years seems to be the length where people get divorced. They discovered if you can last over 4 years, and the longer you go, the more chance you have of staying together. When Cole Porter wrote, "I get a kick out of you," little did he realize he was really talking about a chemical reaction. A chemical wallop from the natural amphetamines, which the brain creates for about 3 years at a stretch. After that time, endorphins and oxytocin, the cuddle chemicals, they call it, begin to take over. So after about 3-4 years, you get settled in with each other, and then it becomes a different sort of relationship. Now, when a couple breaks up or one passes on, they literally go through a withdrawal. A drug withdrawal. The endorphins stop producing, and there's a real physical discomfort manifesting in the body. So the breakup really is literally a drug that you're missing in your life. Now, none of this sounds terribly spiritual, does it? It doesn't sound like this is something that God would have created. If the study is correct, the social critic Ambrose Bierce was right when he said love was temporary insanity cured by marriage. As I was reading this magazine article, I wondered where divine love entered into any of this. Is love fake? Is it just something that we made up? Just a biochemical reaction that means absolutely nothing in the long run? As spiritual beings who are created from the divine energy of God, the love of God, which is the pure essence of the whole universe, do we have to rethink who we are, what we're doing here? Are we just sophisticated chemical machines reacting to hormonal overdrive or hormonal deprivation, depending on where we are in our lives? Where's the poetry of Browning and Barrett? Where's the love song by the Carpenters? Or Oates and Hall? Do we look and just, this is ridiculous. This is nothing. What's the point to it all? So as usual, when I'm doing this work and I need the answers, I go within. So in prayer and meditation, I took it to Spirit, and eventually the answer I got was, Because we have chosen to express in a physical body, in a physical world, even divine love needs this vehicle of expression, the physical chemical vehicle, to express on this plane of existence. Everything that we experience here in this three-dimensional world is chemical. Doesn't mean it's not holy, it just means that's the vehicle for God to work through. However, that doesn't make love less holy just because the chemical component has been isolated and identified. And that cranky psychiatrist of the article was actually correct. Love is not part of human nature, it's part of divine nature. It's part of who you are as a spiritual being, which of course is our true nature. As spiritual beings having a human experience, which is what we're doing on this planet, it would follow that the physical manifestation of our good has to have as its avenue of expression that which is organic to the physical laws of the planet. And that goes for the manifestation of divine love moving through our individual consciousness. Everything the article says is true as far as it goes, but it's only a small part of that whole picture that we're looking at. The reason why we as a culture have so much difficulty with relationships is because we have not spiritualized our relationships. We're still stuck in the chemical mode. We haven't moved beyond the chemical mode, which we know is part of the process, part of the journey, but we have to rise above that as well to see that what we're doing is a holy endeavor. We have left God completely outside of our relationships, and therefore we're setting ourselves up for, at best, a 4-year chemical relationship. When we have taken time in quiet prayer and meditation, we let God reveal the truth, then we remember the truth. We are much more than just human. We are a threefold physical being, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The physical desire and attraction naturally unfolds itself. But after 4 years, there has to be more to carry the relationship forward. The mental and emotional connection has to be there as well. They found that couples who have similar interests and passions have longer lasting relationships than those who go their separate ways during the day. But to make a relationship truly whole or holy, we have to let spirit unfold in our lives, in our homes, our jobs, our careers, our intimate moments with our spouses or partner or family members. And only then are we able to let divinity, that holiness, that wholeness, move into our lives to bring that healing we're looking for. Joel Goldsmith wrote in his book, The Gift of Love, only a spiritual bond existing between two people can keep that love fruitful, fulfilling, harmonious, and pure. Love is what binds us together. And what is love? Love is the ability of the Christ in me to speak to the Christ in you. Love is the ability to know that my God is just as much your life as God is my life. I love you by knowing God's truth about you. You feel it and you respond to it. So ultimately, love is knowing and recognizing God in each other. Now, the English word for love is from the Latin word meaning desire. And desire literally means from God, desire, birthing forth from within. Therefore, love is only from God. True love is only a spiritual thing. Love is the movement, the activity of God moving in and through you, no matter that it shows up as a chemical reaction or not. When we are expressing love on a human level, we're expressing only a fraction of the power that God is. Swami Vivekananda, whom the Fillmore's, Unity's co-founders, studied with for a while, said this about human love. Men are ever running after sexual pleasure, wealth, and fame. Sometimes they're hit very hard in the head and they find out what the world really is about. He said, no one in this world can really love anything but God. So whether it's a relationship or your home or your career or your puppy, no matter what it is, that's God showing up in a very unique, wonderful way just for you. And we don't need to be hit over the head by that so-called cosmic 2x4 to be awakened to the love within us. It doesn't have to be difficult. We make it difficult. It is not difficult when we let go and open ourselves up to the power and presence of Spirit. We can have the love that we desire, the relationship we desire, the friendships that we desire, For that matter, the careers, the financial stability or security, the wholeness of mind and body, all of these are simply expressions of divine love when we let them flow forth. You've heard that expression, marriage takes work. Well, it's true, but not the kind of work that we think. The work we have to do is to see God in and as each other. That's the real work we're here to do. The power of God as the true self that you and I naturally are. But we have to do that every single day. That's where the work comes in. The missing toothpaste cap, the dirty laundry on the floor, the annoying pantyhose that your husband leaves in the shower, depending on your relationship, the mangled razors, the empty milk carton in the refrigerator, all of these will be taken care of when you see that the nitpicker or that loving slob is really and truly a perfect and holy divine light, though they may not be acting that way. The person you chose to be in your life is God in disguise. You scoff. Have you met? Yes, I have, and I see God. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that God because we go, oh, it's just her, it's just him. No, this is God you're living with. Showing up in a very human, quirky, and wonderful kind of way. I know it's hard to believe, but just stay with me for a bit here. I know it's almost become a cliche, but we have to love ourselves before we can love another. If you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, you know that's true. He says it every time, so it must be true. A lot of us have a hard time with loving ourselves. We really do. We have a hard time seeing that I am worthy of having it good in life. Have you noticed that our culture really has a taboo about feeling good about ourselves? We're considered selfish for wanting to have a good life. At the end of a workshop a couple of years ago, somebody came up to me and they said they felt guilty whenever the idea of prosperity came up. They really reacted very strongly against that idea. She was taught that to want anything was selfish, and that it was really taking what was not yours. In actuality, selfishness is merely the clear indication that you have a lack of self-worth and a lack of self-love. Selfishness and self-love are very different things. When we love ourselves and see each other as God beings, we know that there's more than enough good to go around. You can't take what is not yours. You can only affirm it. When you see somebody who has something, you get jealous of it or envious of it. It just means that you want your own version of it. That's all. You don't want what they have. You want what yours is. We don't have to hoard anything. Hoarding is fear. That selfishness is hoarding because you're afraid of the good not being there. Accepting your good is about loving yourself. Knowing that the universe has this for you. You can't take somebody else's job. If it's your job, nobody can take it from you. You can reject it. You can do something to throw it away. We've all seen those interviews with HR personnel say, you wouldn't believe what this person did to sabotage their interview. That is throwing our good away. Feeling love for ourselves is wanting to release that which does not work in our lives, to give up the destructive activities like smoking or overeating or other addictions that blot out not only our joys but our pains. Our pains and our joys, we don't see them, we don't feel them, we don't let them reveal what we need to do in our lives to have a better life. To love ourselves means to take care of your body by exercising, by eating wisely, by grooming ourselves lovingly. Loving ourselves means to take care of our souls by expanding our creativity in painting or cooking or writing, reading, whatever gives you joy and emotional satisfaction. To love ourselves means taking care of our spirits by meditating, by prayer, reading and studying spiritually centering material, and being with like-minded, spiritually aware people like here at Unity. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to care enough about ourselves if we're going to heal our lives. There was a woman who, after years of not being able to lose weight, decided, you know, I've had enough of this, I'm going to a diet center. The counselor asked her what she thought life would be like when she lost all the weight, expecting the woman to say how excited she would be. Well, the woman said, when I lose my weight, I'll lose my husband, my home, and my job. And the counselor said, but we're talking about weight. We're not talking about those other things. And the woman replied, I know, but when I like myself more, all those things won't be good enough for me. She was holding on to them because she didn't think she had a choice. She said, when I am where I need to be, I will not have to do that. We don't have to do that now. You can make a choice now to love yourself before you see any outside change. I love what Aristotle said. He wrote, a man of virtue is his own best friend and takes delight in privacy, in his own solitude. Whereas a man of no virtue or ability is his own worst enemy and is afraid of being alone. If we're alone and enjoying it, that's an indication that we love ourselves enough to be with ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, our own company is hell. So we need to turn that around. So many of us are afraid of getting quiet, of being alone with our thoughts and our feelings and our good. But it's the quiet of our being only that we hear the voice of God, do we hear God whispering the truth of who and what we are, about how important and how loved we are by this universe we live in. Think about it. If you're such worms of the dust and unlovable, why would your spouse or partner want to be in love with you at all? If you don't love you, why would anybody else? If you don't want to be with you, why would anybody else want to be with you? Why? What would your reaction be to someone that you love and cherish who is constantly running themselves down all the time? I'm sure we all know at least one person who does that. And it's tiring. It's exhausting being with such a person because not only are they draining their own energy, but they're draining everybody around them. They've done testing that those who are negative and draining drain everybody 50 feet around them. I'm sure we've all worked with one or two of them in our lives. You just can't wait to get away from them because you're so tired at the end of the day. It's infuriating how they don't see how marvelous and special and important that they are. The same goes for you. Think about the ways you diminish yourself. What lies are you telling? Most of us do it in some way until we really begin to hear how we do that. You wouldn't accept that kind of talk about a family member or a friend, yet we think nothing about bad-mouthing our own selves, about poo-pooing our talents and our sacredness. Like, oh, that's not important. What's your reaction when somebody gives you a gift or gives you a compliment? Do you react negatively? I've had some friends when I gave them a gift. Oh, no, you shouldn't have. I'll take it back then. I like this. I'll keep this. I got it because I thought you would like it, but if you don't want it, I'll take it back. When I say that, it kind of awakens something in them. So, no, I was just being polite. That's not polite. That's running yourself down. It's saying, telling the universe, I don't deserve this, and the universe will give it back to us. It's like, well, you didn't want this. You said you don't deserve it. If we could see ourselves the way that God does, it would blow us away. It would be so mind and heart opening to see us the way the universe truly loves and supports us at all times. And so if you're in a relationship right now and you're having a challenge with it, know that the challenge is nothing but the lack of divine love expressing in some way that you are withholding love in your relationship. Find out what that is. Go within and ask God, where am I not giving of myself completely here? You're blocking the fullness of God for some reason, and only you and God can figure that out. I am a perfect child of divine love. Nothing can change that truth. I invite you to work with that affirmation this week. I am a perfect child of divine love. Nothing can change that truth. Affirm that with me. I am a perfect child of divine love. I am a perfect child of divine love. Nothing can change that truth. Breathe in. How does that feel? If that's hard for you to say, that's the work and that's why Spirit brought you this morning. If it's easy for you to say, and it wasn't at one time, look at how far you've come. You're a powerful, wonderful, perfect child of God. There's nothing that can change that except for your realization and your warped understanding or misunderstanding of that truth. To have the right partner, the right career, to have peace of mind, to have joy in your life, you have to have a romance with yourself first. You've got to fall in love with you because you deserve it. You are the love of your life. You are the love of your life, first, last, and always. You. That's it. You came here by yourself. You'll go to the other side by yourself. Take that journey with somebody you really love, which is you. You have to fall in love with the awesome, perfect, beautiful, gorgeous, hot being that you are. Yes. Right? Yes. Because if you don't, who will? So if you love you, other people will go, what's going on here? Let me check this out. So how do we begin this? How do we begin this process after years of perhaps not loving ourselves or running ourselves down? Jesus revealed it very powerfully. He said, you've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might, depending on the translation. And he follows it up with, and the second is exactly like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the fullness of Scripture in one line. He said, if you've got this, you don't need the book anymore. Because you have it, you own it, you are a living, walking scripture if you understand this truth. You are not less than your neighbor, and your neighbor is not less than God. You are all God energy expressing. So how do we really tap into that? We have to know that if you're being abused by another person, the lack of love for yourself is keeping you from moving on. Love is the protecting power that keeps you safe, but it has to be released from within, and you have to call it forth. When that power is released, divine wisdom will also reveal the steps you need to take to remove yourself from any abusive mate. Now, it's not only physical abuse, but it's also mental, emotional, and spiritual abuse. There are many, many different ways that we tend to abuse ourselves, and then we naturally see others as mirrors, and we start with them because we run out of things to tell ourselves. So we need to stop the abuse here first. I'll never forget a phone call, and I've shared this with you before. A woman called Silent Unity, and she was being abused. Her husband has just beat her, beat the children, had just taken off in the car, and she called for prayers. And I began the prayer of protection, of wisdom to know what to do. And she stopped me in the middle. She said, no, you don't understand. I want you to pray that he comes back. I don't have prayers for that. That's just that we don't pray. So this is in my mind. I wasn't telling her that. So I began to pray for the healing of her own soul, the healing of her mind, and for her husband to have the wisdom to do what needed to be done. And she interpreted that in her own mind as saying thank you, and she hung up. But there is a woman who did not believe she deserved to have a better life. She believed that she was getting what she deserved, and her, unfortunately, for her children as well. Whether somebody's hitting you or diminishing your identity as a powerful child of God is all abuse, and you've got to remove yourself from that for the love and the healing to begin. You deserve better. You deserve better than being treated poorly by anyone. Without putting God's love and guidance first, something is always going to be missing. And we will always feel that lack of wholeness and perfection that we naturally are. Yogananda taught that whether one is single or married, one should feel that God is the one beloved spouse. He said, you're married to God. God is, and you are one. Therefore, this is your partner for eternity. When we're married to God and realize our wholeness, our oneness, our eternal marriages, or holy unions become so much more powerful and so much more sacred because we know that there is a wonderful trinity going on, the two of you and spirit at work. The divine mystics were always speaking of God as the divine lover. It's really quite racy material when you really get into it. It's really very powerful. The 12th century mystic Meister Eckhart called God voluptuous and delicious. A new way of looking at God. Julian Norwich, the mystic, said God was juicy. You just hear heads exploding all over the South on that one. Oh, my God. Up until now, we haven't thought of a spirit in terms of citrus fruit, but it's a wonderful new image to have. God is divine life itself. And when you ever pick a fresh fruit off the tree, it's astonishing. It's so different than even something that's been picked the day before. That's filled with life, and that's the juiciness of God. Filled with life and waiting to burst forth from us. What is God but the fullness of life, love, power, joy, and all good? God is not a person in the sky making determinations about you. God is the life bursting forth within you right now, waiting for you to say yes to it. God is overflowing goodness and the abundance of life itself. Using poetic language, Julian said, God feels great delight to be our true spouse and our soul, the loved wife. Whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter. The soul is genderless, and so is God. Now, if you happen to be searching for your eternal earthly beloved or trying to heal a current relationship issue, what can you now do to bring forth this expression of God so that healing can happen or that you can find your right mate finally? Well, we go back to Goldsmith for a moment. He writes, our homes should be centers of love, temples of God. We have to learn to forgive injustices quickly, realizing that God neither judges nor condemns, and that neither should we. God's forgiveness is 70 times 7, and so must ours be. Then does our consciousness become a transparency through which God's love enters and blesses others. Now, this past week when I was sharing with the community in Palm Springs, the reason why their church closed 7 or 8 years ago is because the minister's son was ordained by the minister. He was not, he was having a challenge with his mental and emotional health. He sold the building from underneath the congregation, the community, sold his mother's house without anybody knowing it, and took off. Nobody knows where he is. He drove the center into the ground, and they had to disband. So at the very end, I said, I have an assignment for you before I return back here. I said, your assignment is to write this man a forgiveness letter. Forgive him so that this new center can start in love. Now, I could see their wheels were turning. They were spinning madly within their minds, trying to rationalize why they should not forgive this man, but they had been in unity long enough not to say anything. So the healing continues. And I said, when you're ready to do it, write him a letter, send it to the universe, write it to his angel, his guide, whatever works for you, and release him so that unity can have a fresh start. That's what we need to do in our lives. Think of the person who you think ran your life into the ground, who destroyed your relationship, destroyed your trust. Maybe when you were a child, it might have been a parent or a family member. Who do you need to forgive? Who's the forgiveness person in your life you need to say, I'm letting you go because I'm reclaiming the love of my life, which is me. Take that within this weekend and ask Spirit, what do I need to do to let that go? Now, it doesn't mean we're condoning. We're not saying that's okay what they did. We're saying, I'm taking my power back. Yes, I forgive you, but you need to get help for your addiction. And if they're still in your life, say, here's what you're doing. You're going to get help, or I am moving on. I deserve better. I forgive you, but I choose not to be cheated on anymore. I love you, but you apparently don't love us in the way that I need you to. I love you, I bless you as a child of God, but you're obnoxious, you're obstinate, and you laugh like a hyena. I'm out of here. I love you, but not your personality manifestation, so bless you, and I know the right and perfect mate is your way, coming your way. We love the Christ within. We don't necessarily want to be around them, and that's absolutely fine. You will find your right and perfect person. Like Carlos said, one time he had a meditation about somebody in his church in Massachusetts. He was having a really, really difficult time with them. And he went within, and he said, buddy Jesus, I need your help here. He says, I'm having a hard time with this person. And he heard the voice of the Spirit within clearly say, I told you to love them. I didn't tell you to like them. So we get clear that we don't have to like the personality, the ego, but we love the person, and sometimes from afar. We get that? Sometimes from afar, we bless the child of God that they are in Connecticut. Or wherever they live. So I invite you to take time this week to let go and let God reveal divine love for yourself, for everybody else, and what you need to do to let that love flow. Because having that person around can inhibit the love from flowing if it's constantly being abused in some way. So rekindle that romance with yourself. Take yourself on a date this week. If you're single on Valentine's Day, here's a perfect opportunity for you to take yourself to a nice restaurant, buy yourself a box of chocolate, a nice card, and take yourself to a movie or a show. Right? Absolutely. You deserve it. Here's another assignment for the week. Because you're not coming to the retreat, therefore I have a few things for you to do. Write your partner or your spouse a note every day, writing one thing that you love about them. I love your smile, I love your compassion, I love how you wake me up with breakfast every morning, hint, hint. I love how you walk the dog and let me sleep. Again, if this happens, we're not being manipulative here. I love how you give me a lot of money every week for doing this. No, that's not what we're here about. It's what they actually do. And if you're single and you want a mate, begin a list of your own. Write every day, I love this wonderful mate coming forth because they are compassionate and they listen to me. Or I love this wonderful mate because they like to go biking with me. And begin to write a list of qualities that you're looking for in a mate. And then do a note to yourself. Make a list of your wonderful qualities and add to it every day for a full week. What about you is wonderful? What about you is unique? What about you is something to be proud of? Your talents, your accomplishments, your holy and qualities. What wonderful things have you done in your life? Write these out. Put them in a self-love list. And see just how wonderful your life really and truly is. I want you to take a breath. Close your eyes. Go to your heart. I ask you to have a time of rededication. Right now, rededicate yourself to the Spirit within to be the expression of love you are called here to be. Now, for a moment, if you're here with somebody special, take their hand. If you're single, acknowledge the God being that you're on, hold your old hand. Let the love of God flow through your hands into your heart. Let it flow gently through your body, into the cells, tissues, bones, molecules of your being. Let that love flow from you to the other person or through your own hands, returning to yourself. Know that the love of God flowing through you is God loving God. Spirit acknowledging itself as perfect, whole, holy, sacred. No condemnation, no fear. Complete pure trust of God within. Only pure, gentle, healing love is at work. See the other person and yourself as recommitting to beholding the God self that you truly are every day, every hour, every moment. God and I are one. God and I are one. Affirm that with me. God and I are one. You and I are one together. You and I are one. Breathe that truth in. And as we sing our meditation song, I Am So Blessed, we go deeper. Deeper into the heart of spirit, deeper into the power and truth of who and what we are. Perfect, beautiful, holy beings of love, light, and joy. Breathe in. Let go. I am so grateful for all that I have. so grateful. I am so blessed. Breathe in. I am divine love expressing perfectly. I am loved and I am loving. I am peace and I am peaceful. I am whole and I am healed. I am joy and I am joyful. All the good of God right here, right now, nothing missing. Just waiting in potential. Rather like having a good singing voice but never singing, or never taking lessons to know how to activate that wonderful voice, or having the ability to dance or cook or do anything creative but never taking the time to let it flow forth. God's like that. The more we focus on spirit, the more we know God and I are one. The more we are loving and compassionate, the more God, the more joy, the more love we have available to us. So our job is to keep knowing who and what I am. Divine love itself. Breathe into your heart and let that love flow forth into every cell, every tissue, every molecule, every muscle, every thought, every breath you take. You are love, and you are loving. As we begin to love our body temple, regardless of what we have called it in the past, we now begin to see the response of love within it. Our co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, loved her body when she condemned it for so long. Finally, she said, "I love you. You are perfect and whole." And her body responded. I invite you to go through your body. Have you called yourself weak, ineffective, diseased, sick? No longer. Now we call this wonderful body temple healthy, whole, strong, responding perfectly to the power of love within. I invite you to silently affirm this truth. The healing love of God flows through me now. I am whole and well. The healing love of God flows through me now. I am whole and well. Let that take hold. Breathe into it. Know that divine love is present in every part of who and what you are. The divine love of God also reveals your talents and your abilities. Those are a channel of how we express our abundance on the planet. What do you love to do? What gives you great joy in doing it? That's your work. The creative love of God reveals success and abundance in me now. I do what I love to do. The creative love of God reveals wonderful talents, abilities, joys I may not be willing or haven't been willing to acknowledge. Spirit is revealing what they are and what to do, how to express them. And my life works perfectly because of it. Breathe into your heart. And let go. God's loving guidance reveals what to do and how to do it every single moment of every day. I no longer fear and doubt my life. I am grateful, joyful, expectant of only good coming forth as I let divine love guide my way perfectly. Breathe in and let go.
go. In the quiet of our being, we allow Spirit to reveal, this is who you are. Love. I am loved. I am loving. I am love in perfect expression. Breathe in and let go. You shall love the Lord your God, the very foundation of who and what you are, with all your heart, your body, your soul, your might, your mind. And the second, just like it, you shall love your neighbor and you shall love yourself. This is the fullness of the truth. And for this realization, we are so, so grateful. And so it is.